Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is the living and abiding Word of God, this risen Christ. He is imperishable. He may have perished on the cross, but he could not stay that way. The Son of God did not and could not stay dead. The seed promised to Eve by God is imperishable. It is eternal. It is forever. And this is the good news that is being preached to you in these last days. You know this. I'm preaching to the choir, even sort of literally, because you're here because you've already taken this word to heart. You've heard it and believed it. You've heard it and wanted to share it. You yourself have heard this good news and been comforted by its power to bring faith, to forgive sins, and to give eternal life. You have chewed it and drunk it, been washed in it, listened to it. You have listened to him, the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased. You know this good news. Yet because of the ever-prowling devil, you must continue to hear it and preach it. It is an ongoing, lifelong process to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this eternal, imperishable gospel. Because it is forever. You cannot hear it too much. It is life. It is your life. Now, Peter contrasts this with your natural state, with your flesh and worldly passions, which are at enmity with God. They are not life. Any glory perceived in the flesh is a fleeting glory which blooms and dies, a temporary pleasure. But what of it? What does it get you, ultimately? For the flesh only leads to death. You are by nature sinful and unclean. You are by nature dead to God, dead in your sin. And your flesh is not going to help you out of that. What you do in this life is not going to save you, rather what God has done for you. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. It's a repeated theme in Scripture. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. Now, in a way, this kind of takes some of the pressure off of this life, knowing that your eternal life does not depend on the size of your mausoleum or the awesomeness of your funeral. Your salvation does not depend on how people remember you, or even if at all. It does not depend on how they celebrate your life at the end. Their prayers and their eulogies may superficially soothe their own grief, but they will not move you one inch closer to the heavenly banquet. You don't have to be a great man, an important pastor or professor, an original thinker, a super talented musician, a gifted teacher, or any of the things which proclaim success to this world. Those accomplishments will not earn you any points toward heaven. For you, like everyone else before you, are from dust, and to dust you shall return. To be blown in the wind, scattered like the ashes of a million unbelievers, strewn over the expanse of their favorite ocean or forest. Gone. But the word of the Lord remains forever. What matters is just that. What matters is him. For your skin will decay, but you will live with him because you are in him and with him, baptized into his name and righteousness. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, says Peter. but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. All of this, Jesus, Scripture, the cross, death, resurrection, is for your sake. These things are written down, says John, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Repent and believe, the apostles proclaim to the world and to you, for this is a real thing, no myth or fable, but eyewitness history, which you need to know and hear and believe, for your eternal life is at stake. Because this is true, because God has done this for us, because our sins have been forgiven, then we can love. Our love doesn't save us. The gospel is not just a command to go out and love everybody. True love is love that comes from God, and we love because he first loved us. Or as Peter writes, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. A pure heart is a forgiven heart, and you cannot love unless you have been forgiven. You cannot be forgiven without the blood of Christ poured out for you. So there you go. The gospel. The eternal gospel. The living and abiding word, which is the forgiveness of sins through God's sacrificial love for you through Jesus Christ. It's immortalized in the Latin translation, Verbum Domini manet aeternum, VDMA, arranged around a little Greek cross, used as a sort of logo for the reformers, and even adorning the sleeve of our own Christ Academy college t-shirts. Logo, logos, eternal, salvific, powerful, and efficacious. This is a good thing to remember as you go out into the world soon. Your body will pass away like withered grass, like a failed flower. A few years from now, people will say, "Vicar who?" Deaconesses and pastors come and go. Parishioners come and go. Denominations, church buildings, leaders, all the things of this world come and go. But the word of the Lord remains forever. This is your comfort and hope, and this is the good news that has been preached to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.